Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie Al, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, September 27th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 49, the second full paragraph, beginning with, "We who have traveled this dubious path," through one paragraph ending with, "We should have sought ourselves." We're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Lisa N., reading the text, Jennifer H., reading page 164, and Dion R. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, September 26, 2024, is 21,779 or 21779. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,781 or 21781. Always preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12th step of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Robin B. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. This is Robin B., compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Robin B. Next, I will ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you for your service this month. I appreciate working with you, and welcome. I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am still recovering because I'm doing my writing. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or, my goodness, I can't read that. Oh, yes, or outside enterprise leaves problems of money, property, and prestige from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous. Oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. Here, I don't have my glasses on. You think I know this by now? Overeaters Anonymous should remain a forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. You did a great job. Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction to recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of this fabulous Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 49. We're going to read the second full paragraph, beginning with, "We who have traveled this dubious path," ending with, "We should have sought ourselves." We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Lisa N. to please begin reading. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you so much for your dependable and pleasant service this month. We who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. We have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever. We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. Wow, that is a conviction, but a loving one. Because I too did that, where I judged people. I went to a church always for many, many years, I grew up in a church. We didn't go every Sunday, but we went plenty of Sundays and holidays, of course. And I remember my mother talking about the people. And I'm not blaming my mother, but, you know, you do kind of teach people how to think when they're your kids. I did that, too. I taught my children how to judge people, and that was unfair of me because I had loads of character defects that I should have been looking at myself. But there was a prejudice about people and what they did, and it came from my mother's upbringing. So you see it for me. I don't know if it happened that way for you, but I know for me, my experience was that my mother also had that thing where she was shown people in her church that did things that were wrong. But when I look at myself, I say to myself, okay, I'm going to cut myself some slack because I am a garden variety human being, and I need God's power to be different. And when I don't ask for God's power, I go about my way, my thinking, and it's not always the best, right? It's not stable. It's not happy. It's not useful. I need God for all of that, and so does everybody else. And when people have faith and they're trying, you know, they are going to have better things probably in their life, and I don't need to judge them. They're just doing their best like I am. So, I guess that's all I have to say is just to, you know, look to that higher power for how he would have me look at others and myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa N., for getting us started. And we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experiences too. If you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your shares to 3 minutes so that as many people as possible can share. It's a really big meeting, hundreds of people. So I'll remind you when your time is up, and please finish promptly in order to give time to others to share too. So if you could please give your name, your last initial, and where you're calling from, and I'll get you on the lineup. Who would like to share?
Vicki T. from Florida.
Gotcha, Vicki.
Deanna from Georgia.
Got you, Deanna. Mm-hmm. And Deanna, you're from Ohio, right?
Georgia.
Georgia.
As of now. Yeah. I just switched, but it 9 months ago. But yes, I'm Georgia.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Thank you.
Who else? Have anyone else who wants to share? Okay, well, we'll start here and give you some time to think about it. I've got Vicki T. followed by Deanna R. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody. Vicki T. recovered in Florida. Really grateful to be on the meeting, as always. Yeah, organized religion. I was part of organized religion when I grew up, but I didn't understand why I was doing what I was doing. They were just annoying rituals that were boring, and I never wanted to get up in time to go. That was really all I can remember. And then going to the services and hiding out in the bathroom when the sermon would come on because it was boring. I didn't really get anything from it. It didn't mean anything. Now, in program, after many, many years, recognizing that the only solution is going to be a spiritual solution. I tried for so many years to avoid that and see if I could do it a different way. And I'm here to tell you, you can't, or I can't. I think of myself, this is what I tell people, I feel like I'm a doctor. Like, let's say, for example, I was a podiatrist, I don't know, and I went to school in 1975, and I learned how to, you know, do whatever. I'd have to keep on taking continuing education courses because the a long time ago, from 1975 to 2024. I'm sure there's new ways of procedures and things like that. And I look at my spirituality as that. Like, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for it. And I, it's part of the pun, but, you know, and I'm constantly seeking. And, you know, that word continue is in our steps often. And just being so open-minded to anything that real, true religion has to offer. Because stability, happiness, and usefulness, those are good. Like, I would like to have those, and I'd like to continue having them. And as a part of my spiritual awakening, I do have stability, happiness, and usefulness, and I want more. I want more. So it's interesting how, like, in 6 and 7, my character defect changes into an asset, and sometimes God uses it in a different way. So I'm hungry. I'm hungry for spirituality, not the food. Thank you for letting me share.
Wow, thank you so much, Vicki T, and perfect timing. Next up, we've got Dion R. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning again, Stephanie, and everyone. Thank you. Whew, that was beautiful. Thank you for those who shared that. I really appreciate it. It lifts my spirit and reminds me what I'm reading. The part that stuck out to me was this: we have learned that whatever the human frailty of various faiths may be, those faiths have been given purpose and directions to myriads. And of course, it goes on, people of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. But the main thing of what I'm hearing is they all, as they go down to bottom, we can see that most people of faith, just whether color, races, creeds, demonstrate a degree of stability. I didn't have that. Happiness. I didn't have that. Usefulness. What I can get for me, the next bite, the next whatever. That's what I was seeking. And when I looked up frailty, and it says, well, what makes this to me? Weakness, imperfection. Faults arising from human weakness. And it just reminds me what I've heard and what I'm hearing in my spirit is, we're all human. Right, we are human, and I was thinking a couple of years ago, and we were saying, had a conversation about something. It's like, who did it? What color were they, or whatever? And she said, we did bones with skin on it, you know. And I'm like, okay, thank you, God. It brought me back to reality. And all week, he's been bringing me back to. A little saint, you know, we're the same gum, different rappers. But what all of the things is just what we guard. Beyond put aside your prejudice and see what others have to offer. And then maybe you can carry a message, because I couldn't carry a message then when I was wearing and eating what I was eating and getting mad because I couldn't be a speaker. You know, so today I'm grateful. Most days my insides matches my outside. And I just love to be of service. I'm going to say this, I'm just grateful no matter where I'm at, my higher power is already there. So that gives me a sense of peace. And I shared with someone earlier this weekend, I'm in the eye of the storm, and I had to look up, what is the eye of the storm? I didn't know what I said. But in the state of joy, to just feel safe and protected no matter what. Just want, and I appreciate all the shout-outs people checking on me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you, family, and thank you for being the best part of my spiritual journey.
Well, thank you so much, GNR. Perfect timing again. All right. So who would like to share? Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Nancy L.
I've got you, Nancy.
Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina.
I got you. Was that Patricia? Was that an N or an M?
I missed that. Sorry.
Oh, was that an N or an M as in Mary?
Patricia Ann D. Patricia Ann, and then the last name is D. Starts with D.
D. Oh, sorry. Okay, Patricia Ann. Gotcha. Okay, thanks, Patricia.
Thank you.
Okay. And who else would like to share?
Janice K., Oregon.
Right. Janice K. from Oregon. Got ya.
Donna B. from London.
Donna B. from London. Got ya. And do we have anyone else? Okay, well, we'll go with these four. We've got Nancy L., Patricia Ann, Janice K., Donna B. We'll start with Nancy L., followed by Patricia. All righty. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, moderator. Sorry, I can't remember your name. This is Nancy, recovered in Arizona. That is some reading. I'm out riding my bike, pulled over, so I hope a car didn't go by. I pretty much grew up in church. I mean, I don't think that there was a Sunday or a Wednesday night that I wasn't in church. My mother always was very faithful to get me in church. And from a little girl, I remember hearing from the pulpit that gluttony is a sin, and if you fall into sin, repent. So I would do that. I especially like in my early 20s and 30s, after binging every Saturday night, and so Sunday morning I'd be in church with tears streaming down my cheeks. I repent. And I just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I guess I just thought that, well, if I repent, then God's going to remove this weight, you know. And I just was really started to get a little angry at God because he wasn't removing my weight. And then I met a doctor. I didn't meet him face to face, but I started reading what he had to say about addiction. And his name is Dr. Silkworth. And I could identify with what he was saying. And every time I would read what he would say in the doctor's opinion, I'd say, yes, that's me, only with the food. Yes, that's me. And I thus found the steps, found a sponsor. I've lived in a thin body now for 20 years. My doctor says, Nancy, your heart loves your weight. And, you know, it God was there the whole time. But he was trying to show me that I had to apply principles to my dilemma. I had to work. I had to do something about my weight. I couldn't just sit back and let God just remove it from me because he wasn't going to do that. And I'm grateful for the steps. It saved my life, and I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy L. And where again were you calling from?
Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. Gotcha, friend. Thank you. All right. Next up, we've got Patricia Ann, followed by Janice K. Good morning, Patricia Ann.
Good morning. I'm Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. All I know is that my prejudice concerning church or organized religion or any of it, it was like I judged them. I judged, and it just kind of made me sick. And that's because of the way I was raised. I wasn't raised around nice people. I wasn't raised around little girls, even though I had five sisters and no brothers. I wasn't raised around getting your hair fixed in little dresses, and I wasn't raised around any of it, you know, being polite and stuff. So to me, it was like, what in the world, you know? And I always felt that, you know, these little dainty women were useless. You know, they were useless. They can't even bang a nail in a wall. You know what I'm saying? So I just kind of shredded away from it. Until I got into recovery, and I did get into recovery back in 84. That's where I actually started. It wasn't in OA, although I was eating my brains out. It didn't matter. I was using drugs and stuff to keep my weight down. But as I grew, I'm no longer intimidated by the dainty women. I am no longer intimidated by any of it, the little dresses. I wear dresses. I wear, you know, I get my nails done. I do a lot of stuff that the ladies do, and I am a lady. I am a lady now, but I wasn't. I was raised Patrick. My dad would call me Patrick, and it was just, you know, I was the boy of the family because he didn't have any sons, and it was just very difficult for me, the prejudice of organized religion or any of it, you know. And they were happy, and that made me even madder. You know, it was like, yeah, okay, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. Next up, Janice K., followed by Donna B. Good morning, Janice.
Hi, fellows. This is Janice K. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Someone earlier today used the phrases empty observances, and I think that one of the things we get offered is an imitation religion. They do their best, you know, they do their best, but they're serving a mass market, and that means that they end up catering to a general subject who may or may not be us. I've also heard mentioned in the rooms that someone said that they came from a non-observant Jewish home, a non-practicing Jewish home. I came from a non-observant, non-practicing Christian home, because there are such things. Just putting a label on doesn't make you that. Just going to church doesn't make you an honest believer. I guess what I'm saying is that empty observance is hollow belief. To be real, religion has to have teeth. It has to be able to help to do real things. It has to be real. In my life, I've had light givers and light takers. And as a child, there were two free light givers, and one of those I had the chance to observe and live with for something like 36 hours. But boy, she was not the run-of-the-mill human being. Her roots were in different soil, and I didn't know what it was, but I wanted it. So our job is to go out and be as transparent in dealing with reality as we can, because in our own ways we are offered the chance to be light givers. Light givers don't participate in character assassination by gossip. Light givers pause, pray, and then proceed. Light givers have the internal switch turned on. And I suspect that our higher power's goal is to create light givers. My lens is a little bit broken. Hey, still human. But I live as close to my higher power as I can. So go forth and bring light in whatever spectrum you carry. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Next, we've got Donna B. Good morning, Donna.
Yeah, hi, this is Donna B. from London. I found this paragraph absolutely so profound for me because I grew up in a very, very, very Catholic home. Went to a convent school. I've even got a nun and a priest family. Not the immediate family, but the extended family. So I had a really, really strong belief and practiced, obviously. But the funny thing is that degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness, really, I only came about to see all of that when I had a gradual spiritual awakening along my journey in OA. It was actually phenomenal. I didn't get the sudden thunderbolt lightning, a stroke of spirituality awakening. It was a gradual process for me. But it was then only through this, only through OA, did I actually see this stability, happiness and usefulness within me. And when I looked on reflection back in my past and all my youth and growing up in the Catholicism in my family, yes, I was useful. I was always that in nature, in my character. But as far as stability and happiness, no, it wasn't there. It wasn't there. These three all fused together once my spiritual awakening happened gradually in the OA program. And for that alone, I will be forever grateful to God and to the OA program for showing that to me. And may I always continue to receive these gifts of acknowledging those three principles within my life. And may I always go out and share and be useful and happy and content to others and help others along their journey as God and the OA journey and other OA fellows have helped me. And on that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Donna B. from London. And if you've just joined us, let me fill you in and let you know where we are. We're on page 49 in the Big Book. Read the second full paragraph, beginning with, "We who have traveled this dubious path," through one paragraph, ending with, "We should have sought ourselves." And we're reading and commenting on just that one paragraph. And, hey, we'd love to hear you share, but please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today, and please keep your sharing 2-3 minutes so as many people as possible can share. So who would like to share? Please give your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from.
Hillary B.
I've got you, Hillary B.
Jeff A.
Okay, got you, Jeff A. We have anyone else who'd like to share? We got plenty of time. Okay, well, we'll stick with these two for now. I've got Hillary B. followed by Jeff A. You guys could please let us know where you're calling from. And Hillary, you're up first. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Hillary B. from Southern California, Pacific time. I love that they call this a dubious path, the path of, that it refers to in the previous paragraph of, I am, the last word of everything. I listened to myself. I did not listen to a higher power. I had a lot of prejudice against most organized religion. And even the one I was raised in and didn't really have a lot of prejudice against it, I wasn't really interested in following it or spending any time with God. That word had a lot of baggage for me. And what a gift today that I get to learn one day at a time how to demonstrate a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness because of my own spiritual life that I gained from working the steps or from working this program, including the steps, and that I have a higher power that wants for me only my highest and best good. and also wants the highest and best good for everyone involved with me. And so when I give my life over or my day over or my issue over or my situation over to my higher power, even though it's scary, I know that it will be for my highest and best good, or it is for my highest and best good, even if I don't like it. Who wants their highest and best good all the time? Not me. Sometimes it's really hard. It would be easier, it's seemingly easier, to let go and just do whatever the heck I want, what I think feels good in the moment, which usually is something that's highly self-destructive and destructive of those around me. So I'm grateful to have been begged and finally said yes to laying aside prejudice to the best of my ability, and to take the steps necessary, the steps in this program and the footsteps on this path, this earth walk as a human being, to find a better light, to do whatever it takes to do what I can best hear is God's will or the will of my higher power. Thank you for listening.
Perfect timing, Hillary B. from California. Next we have Jeff A. Good morning, Jeff. Let us know where you're calling from, please.
Jeff A., California. Gosh, this lot, these shares have been great, and the one just finished. I feel like I should just shut up and listen. You know, where my higher power wants me to be generous and kind to anyone and everyone, especially those who disagree with me or persecute me. Well, this isn't what I want, you know, but this is what my higher power has told me to do, and it's hard. It's hard, but I do it one meal at a time. I have my spot tech inventory. I try and call 3 times a day. Usually I need something or I just listen. I have a sponsor. My sponsor is a different, completely different religion than mine. But he has what I want. He has over 10 years of sober eating. So I listen to him. And he has really helped me. So I feel blessed that I have this sponsor. And I feel like my higher power cares for everyone and anyone. And it doesn't matter about a religion or no. I know religion matters too, but I think he cares for everyone in the whole world. And I need to try and be more like that, you know, but I'm a human and I'm going to mess it up pretty much every day. But I can make my amends and I can be generous and kind as I can. And so, okay, thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff A. from California, and we can probably take about 3 more. Who would like to share? Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Christina M.
Elizabeth A., Michigan.
I've got you, Christina M., and I've got Elizabeth A. And we can probably try for one more, too.
Nirvana A.
Was that Nirvana A?
Yes.
Okay. And where are you calling from, Nirvana?
California.
California. All right. I've got Christina M., Elizabeth A., Nirvana A. Good morning, Christina. You're up first.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. Hi, everyone. My name is Christina M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And I was just so moved to share today. I wasn't going to share, but this paragraph is so meaningful, and the shares have been so wonderful so far. But what really stuck out to me was the very first sentence: "We who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion." And I looked up the word dubious, and what I came up with was not to be relied upon. And then I was thinking, you know, what is this dubious path? What is he talking about, or what are they talking about here? And to me, the dubious path is self-reliance. You know, to me, thinking I have to figure this all out on my own, it, starting with the food, you know, that it's, you know, that I'm responsible for figuring out, you know, a diet and how I'm going to stick to it and all of that. And then it just radiates outward, you know, that I'm responsible for everything, for everyone. And it's just not sustainable, you know. It was not possible for me to live in that way. And when it goes on to say, where is it? Lower down in the paragraph where it says, "We might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness, which we should have sought for ourselves." And I don't know, to me, that's sort of striking me today as like a promise, you know, stability, happiness, and usefulness. Isn't that what I always wanted? You know, just to be, to feel stable in my life, to feel happy, to feel useful. And I, on my own, I could never find it. I could never achieve it, no matter what I did, you know, relying on my own intelligence, education, whatever, you know, my own resources failed me. And it's only through this program and the 12 steps and specifically this book where I have found this sense of stability, happiness, and usefulness that I just could never find on my own. And it starts, obviously, you know, we're here in Overeaters Anonymous. It starts with the food, and then it just grows into such a, you know, so much more. So just really grateful to be here, and thanks everyone for being here and participating in this beautiful program. So I'll pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Christine M. from Massachusetts. Next, we've got Elizabeth A., followed by Nirvana. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. This is Elizabeth A. from Michigan, and I rarely share. kind of sit back, and I need to get in the water. This is great because I look at my relationship. I have a relationship with my higher power. I consider it a relationship rather than a religion. And I did have a pretty profound spiritual awakening many years ago, and then the work started. And what I realized when I came into program early on, I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 1986. And by the grace of God, I have never left. And what I had learned and heard way back was that I had the God of my fathers. And how I understood that, it could be looked at different ways, but the way I looked at it was that my God had the attributes of my parents, and that my God was like them, and those qualities and characteristics and negatives and all that was kind of overlaid on my God. And I grew up in a really shame-based family. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. And a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of backbiting, meanness. And so God was that kind of critical, shame-based, a good Christian shouldn't feel that way, I shouldn't think that way. He waited until I was completely depleted and having an emotional meltdown to even listen to my prayers. And so I really had to unwind and tease out that relationship. And the chapter, We Agnostics, has been wonderful. and I continue to pursue that relationship with the Lord. I do still, as it says in, I think, the AA 12 and 12, it says that I often, this is, I'll put it on me, I forget to look at the beauty of the forest for seeing the ugliness of some of the trees. So I do find myself critical of people in church. And my husband actually was an associate pastor, and we went through spiritual abuse with the leadership. And I didn't handle it well. So I am somewhat cynical, and I do still look at some of the flaws of the quote-unquote trees, and always have to come back to me, to my program, my inventory. God shows me those reflections of my heart. So it's been a long journey, and it's, as I've said before, it's the tortoise, not the hare. This is a long, slow climb, this spiritual life. Thank you.
Time, Elizabeth?
All right.
Oh, perfect. Perfect timing. Thank you, Elizabeth A. from Michigan. Next, we've got Nirvana A. Good morning, Nirvana.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. So I always, this is Nirvana A. from California, compulsive overeater. I listen, but I never share. And today I thought, okay, if there's going to be a long silence, I have to press star one. So I always thought God gave us a brain to use it and not keep asking God for everything. You know, like God is saying, I gave you a brain, now use it. But the problem with my brain is that it has a malfunction when it comes to food or life or people or relationships. There's a glitch there. And in my brain, food wants to be the higher power, so it's taken over. So I can't fix my brain with a malfunctioning brain. And when I do see my friends or people online, when I hear them, when they have a strong relationship with God, I can hear it in their voices. They're happier, more peaceful, more serene. And that's what I want. And I realize, like, when doctors don't know something, they ask a specialist. If the specialist doesn't know it, they ask another person. So it's never a crime to say, I don't know, let me ask someone else. And I prefer that doctor over the one that has an ego and wants to say, I know it all, and does a mistake. And so with me, I think, okay, the doctors don't know, they ask. I don't know, so who am I going to ask? I'm going to ask my higher self, you know, the God inside of me, the God, Mother Nature. And I always say, God is give your own definition, give own definition. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as it's personal to you. You can have a relationship however you want. You don't even have to tell people. I tried to tell my family about my God. That didn't go very well. So I keep it personal, and I share it with people who are like-minded with me in this on this journey. And I think maybe life is all about giving us problems so that we can find this higher self. I'm not sure what this life is about, but, you know, I find it much easier when I am connected to a higher self. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Nirvana A. from California. And we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jennifer H., will you please read a vision for you?
Yes, this is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in Alabama. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellow. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.